Hi, welcome to this week's edition of Hunting for X's, the podcast with Mr. Nathan Brooks and Darren Christenberry, brought to you by the fine folks at Elite, Scott Archery, Custom Bow Equipment, Flex Fletch Products, and Winner's Choice Strings. I got the fellows right here. Good morning, Darren. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Busy.
Yeah, I
know. Yeah. It's Monday morning. Time to put out fires basically over the weekend is what Monday morning is.
Yeah, we need to talk about your TPS reports.
About what?
I guess you never seen a movie called, now I can't even think of the movie. It's about a guy that just hates his job. Jenny had me watch this. There's a lot of cussing in it. But this guy's got like eight bosses, and they keep bugging him about these reports, these TPS reports. So it's from
it's the documentary on me.
No. It's that's why I kind of said that. But Office Space. Office Space. That's the name of the movie. So do you get your TPS reports in?
At one point in time, or at least bits and pieces of that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guy, it's based off a cartoon or something. Guy's got glasses and he mumbles a lot. And he's got,
yep, that's me.
He loves his red stapler. Yeah. So, I gotta tell you, fellas, it's almost the rut, man. I was out and the deer are moving. I went to one stand and pulled out my phone after I got a little vibration deal, and I should have been in my other stand because there was a big old Iowa giant right there in front of my other stand while I was at the other stand.
Is that really fair, having cell cameras out there?
Oh, yeah. It's fair for the deer when they're laughing at you,
I suppose.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, yeah, this is going to be the day. He's going to show up, and next thing I know, ding, womp, womp, womp. Nope. And then I'm sitting in a stand the other day, and I see these people walk out of the woods across the road from me. I'm hunting right next to a dirt road, and there's CRP and fields on the other side. Guy and a gal comes out of the timber. He's carrying a bow. It's like 3:30. I'm going, wonder why they're leaving. It was cold. I figured they got cold or something. About 5 minutes later, here comes a truck down the road, and they park, and I can hear them arguing, yelling. And he's dragging out a deer. He got him a nice deer. So, yep. I said, well, that's probably the end of my hunt right there.
That was the one you was after?
I couldn't tell how big it was. It looked like a nice deer, though. But, I mean, there's several deer out there. I mean, it's just, I was happy he got a deer. It's just, I haven't seen anybody there all season. And it figures, the one time I go hunt that stand, somebody would be hunting it. So, that's life.
That's deer hunting, isn't it?
That's deer hunting, that's for sure. So let me ask you guys a question. Shooting from an elevated place, like you're in a tree stand and you got a deer out there at 20 yards, why does that angle, that height angle, affect your arrow flight? Everybody says to aim at the lower third of the deer. Put it at the bottom of the heart. Well, some of that's got to do with the deer drop. Is that all of it, or is it just the way the arrow is performing through that angle?
It's just cuts and gravity. I mean, people used to say, oh, if I aim uphill, I got to add. If I aim downhill, I got to cut. No, you got to cut both ways. And if you've ever gone to Redding, California, you will quickly understand that you don't shoot things for what your rangefinder says, especially if you don't have it in bow mode. If you got it in bow mode, it does the cut. Your line of sight is like from the stand. If your line of sight from your eye to the target, it may be 22 or 23 yards, but you may only have to shoot that for, depending on how high you are, you may only have to shoot that for 18 or 19 yards. There is a cut because of gravity. The arrow doesn't fall as fast or doesn't climb as fast, whatever you want to say there. It's just, there's a cut both ways. Whether you're shooting uphill or downhill at steep angles, you have to cut. You don't add for uphill. You don't subtract for downhill.
So if it's at 25 yards and you put your 20 yard pin right there at the top of the heart, you're going to be golden.
Depending on how high you are. If you're 6 foot off the ground or 16 foot off the ground, it can vary a little bit. Is it going to matter? Should not. you know, at that distance, it doesn't matter. But you start talking 40-plus yards, it can be 2 and 3 yard cuts. And 2 and 3 yards at 40 yards is 2, 3, 4 inches, depending on the speed of your bow. There's a lot of variables there, size of fletching, arrow weight, how much it drops, arrow speed. There's a lot of variables, but it depending on how far out the target is, there is could be a significant cut.
Yeah. Well, I always thought that was, you know, the deer reacting to the arrow, but it's probably a little bit of both then, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah,
if you're shooting a twangy, noisy bow, yeah. But, again, I think that's why a lot of people shoot over the back of a deer. They'll, you know, be 20 foot up in a tree, and all of a sudden, oh, that tree I know was 35 yards from my stand. I shoot at that deer at 35 yards, and he ducks a little bit, and poof, right over the back you go, which, you know, if you ranged it with a bow mode cut, you may only have to shoot it for like 30.4, depending on how high you are. So if you make a 4 or 5 yard cut or a miscalculation, and then the deer jumps the strings, I mean, it could be a 10-inch miss by the time the arrow gets there. So, yeah, there's a lot of variables there, a lot of scenarios that could play into that equation.
Yeah. Well, Nathan, I know I just from filming all my hunts and stuff, I can, you know, you can sit there afterwards and you can just go frame by frame and watch how that deer reacts. Yeah, it's not the bow. I think it's the arrow that they're sensing coming their way. But it's amazing how fast those deer can react and drop.
Yeah, it's it's amazing the ability they have. I mean, obviously, deer or any really just almost any game. You know, this year I missed a antelope doe at 33 yards, and I made a phenomenal shot. I know the shot was good. I put my 30-yard pin actually right at, basically I was aiming low with my 30-yard pin, and she was 33. So if anything, I should have shot low. She dropped so fast, she ducked right underneath that arrow, and I'm shooting 310 feet per second.
Wow.
So it's just stupid how fast they are. And this, you're talking about that cut and everything. The easiest way to think of that is look at it like a triangle. You've got a long side to the triangle. That's the shot distance. You're at the top of the triangle, you know, in your tree stand. The deer is at the bottom of the triangle. And their 90 degree angle is at the base of the tree and the distance from the deer over to the tree. So the long angle of that triangle is what you're seeing as far as your sight distance, but your distance to the target is the 90 degree angle from the base of the tree to the deer or okay. Whatever animal you're shooting. So, so that's how you figure that, and that would be your angle calculation that Darren's talking about, your degree angle that you have to shoot at to make that adjustment for your cut. But that's why the distance looks longer, but the distance is actually shorter.
Yeah. No, I get it. I remember when I first started bow hunting, I missed several deer, and I was shooting fingers back then, but it's like, man, I just put the 20-yard pin right on the middle of the deer and behind the shoulder, and I went right over the back. It happened several times. And then I got mad. I'd sit there and I know that's 20 yards, and I'd shoot at a leaf on the ground, and I'd smoke the leaf, you know, and it's like, or I'd shoot at the leaf and I'd go a little, it'd be a little bit above the leaf where I aimed at. And it's like, okay. All right. And then, or I'd run back to the archery shop and shoot at 20 yards and I'd smoke the X, you know, it's like, well, I know my bow's on. So, but I was green back then, and I didn't understand it, how much a deer can actually drop and about the angle difference. And it's frustrating if you don't think about it, and you get that opportunity, you want to make sure you make a good shot. And when you see, go ahead, Nate.
I still say the biggest thing is the deer dropping more so than the actual distance. And I mean, it does make a difference in how far the shot is, like Darren was saying. I mean, if it's a 40 yard shot, that could be 2 and 3 yards, which could be as much as 5-6 inches, depending on your bow speed. But at the same time, that deer is, or animal, whatever it is probably faster in reaction time than your ability to miss high or low. I mean, I guess it's a little bit of everything, but that's what I see as a perfect precision archer. I never miss.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I can't say that.
But the target's your.
Yeah, that was back in the old 24-13 arrow days. You remember them, Darren, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing about the, you know, talking about the that arrow speed thing. So I'm all for, like, the faster you can get that arrow there accurately, the better off it is. That's the way I see it. That being said, though, there is a distance there where that deer can hear and react so fast. And for me, it's about 25 to maybe 50 yards that it seems like that if you're shooting at a deer in that range, you're taking a big risk because of how fast they can move.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I've killed plenty of deer in those ranges, but it's kind of one of those things that I've seen the target change so much by the time the arrow gets there. Now, I've killed them further than that too, and I've had better luck shooting deer at 60 yards than I have at 45 as far as the deer moving. It's like they don't sense the arrow. They don't sense the danger. Something is different. Maybe it's they don't hear the sound as quick from the bow. I don't know. But whatever it is, I've had more success shooting long range at targets than I have in that medium range.
Yeah. You know, it's different if they got their head down and they're feeding or, you know, they're looking the other way. But, yeah, it's you definitely got to pick your spot. That's for sure when you're going to shoot because, I don't know, it's crazy. And, you know, if you're in a ground blind, then, you know, just aim right where you need to aim. Don't worry about the angle so much. But if you're 20 feet up in a tree stand, you definitely got to pay attention to it. Darren, I was, you know, saying about them 24-13s, man. Remember having to have your arrow meter? Or was that what they were called, where you had to see if your arrows were bent or make sure everything was... it was like a micro millimeter gauge on there, and you could rebend your arrows back the way they needed to go.
If I ever got one that got bent, I'd just chuck it to the side. I used to, when they had the glue on nocks, they had a nock tool. Like if you like damaged the end of the nock taper, cause some people listening may not realize that unibushings weren't always a thing. They had a cone shape in and you actually glued your nock on. Well, if you shot a single spot target and blew a nock off, a lot of times you would damage that cone. And they had a little tool that was like a pencil sharpener, and you just stuck it over the end of that aluminum cone and rotated it around. It would reshape that cone to where you could glue a nock back on and sometimes salvage the arrow. So I did a lot of that, but if I got one that was bent, every time I tried to straighten it, I just made it worse. So I just had a pile in the corner where those bent arrows went. But yeah. Yeah, I remember all that.
Yeah, I spent many a night sitting there on that arrow straightener trying to make sure everything was right. But, boy, I tell you what, aluminum, man, they were fun to shoot. But, boy, if you shot like a single spot you could crease an arrow pretty quick you definitely had to watch what you were doing, that's for sure. But I don't know, man. They used to say aluminum was always straighter than carbon. I don't know if they can say that anymore, Nathan.
Well, you know, I can speak to the quality of repetition, I guess, in the arrows, and I would still say aluminum has the better quality per arrow.
As far as repeatability on shots?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not saying you can't get there with carbon, but I mean, if you're getting a dozen aluminum arrows. I can tell you right now, I mean, you can just fletch the arrows on, make sure you fletch one of the veins on the weld of the arrow because you can see it on the aluminum, and that's always going to be the stiff side. And so dynamically, that arrow is going to react the exact same way as the next one and the next one and the next one because of the way it's made. It's really easy to determine what aluminum is going to do arrow per arrow. Now you might have a bad unibushing that makes your knock crooked or something, but as far as you're just talking about the shafts themselves, they're probably they're easier to control it's easier to control the outcome with the aluminum than it is with just a dozen carbon shafts. But I'll say this, these carbon arrows that we're building nowadays are getting so much better. And our Ultra Arrows that we're building right now has a no spine technology that they're, the way they're building these bones or bones, these arrows, the way they're building them is they're trying to build them where there's no stiff side and no weak side. So basically when you put it on a spine tester, the spine will read consistent all the way around. So there's no spine. It's just an arrow deflection, basically. Yeah. So that should eliminate a lot of the issues that you deal with in dynamic spine reaction when you shoot the arrow. And I can speak to hours worth of how much of a struggle it is to make fixed blade broadheads shoot accurately at long range because of dynamic spine, and how much easier it is when you have arrows that are actually doing the exact same thing over and over again. I don't want to bore everyone to death.
You're not boring. I haven't bought aluminum arrows in probably 15 years. Are they reasonable now, or are they still pretty high?
They're high and going up higher all the time. Everything's high, but yeah, no, aluminum is not cheap by any means.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think.
Supply and demand also would make a difference there too. You know, nowadays aluminum's like, they don't hardly sell any aluminum. So the process of building aluminum is probably just because there's not near as many sold and made as there once was. It's got to be a lot less. So, I mean, that also drives the cost up.
Yeah. I think I shot 2413, was it 2413 double X, or I can't remember go ahead, guys.
Double X75s?
Yeah, that's probably what I shot. They were supposed to be the straightest, is that right? If I remember right?
I don't know. It depends on the X7s were super straight. Heck, I can't remember all that stuff.
Yeah, it's been so long, I can't remember. I know when I was shooting fingers when I first started, I was shooting 2514s. I mean, that was like shooting a cigar. Those things were big.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sure were good line cutters, though, Darren.
In a 2514?
Yeah, I think that's what that was, 2514. They were pretty big. I mean, they were
big. Yeah, they a lot of people probably shot that. The 2512 was the big, I guess, the probably the more popular when it came around, because it had a thinner wall, so it was lighter, so you didn't have such a massive overall arrow weight, because the last two numbers on aluminum is the thickness of the wall. So 2514 is 2564 in diameter, 14,000ths aluminum wall. So a 2512 is half the thickness of a 2514 as far as the wall thickness goes. So it was significantly lighter. I shot 2512s a lot for 3D because you could get them light. And like you said, yes, they would cut lines because you have that 2564 diameter. But carbon is like overtaking the market for, you know, durability, lightness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just it's almost the apples and oranges comparison anymore with arrows and what used to be offered to what's offered now is tremendously better.
Well, that's why I switched 15 years ago to carbon. It was just because they lasted longer, you know, out in the field and stuff. If you missed, you didn't chink your arrow or dent it or something. You know, it was definitely a money saver switching over from aluminum. But
yeah, aluminum, like Nathan said, you know, from arrow to arrow, from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, it didn't matter what 2512, 2514, 2413, didn't matter what arrow you bought, what color it was, it didn't matter. Aluminum, they can produce so consistently over time when they draw that out that they flex the same. They just were very, very consistent. That was one of their characteristics. Now, carbon, you know, from week to week, month to month, year to year, the weight codes are different. The overall weights are a little bit different. The spines can vary just a little bit. So you have to watch what you do when you buy things 2 or 3 years apart with carbon, or check when you're building it what your overall weight is, et cetera, et cetera. But there are some very good similarities, but there are some pretty subtle differences too.
Absolutely. Just reminiscing on the old Hunting for X's podcast with Mr. Nathan Brooks and Darren Christenberry. So what are you guys up to this week? You working? Are you in the field? What are you doing?
I am sitting here as we speak, typing out emails and responding to all kinds of stuff we got going. Sales are happening like crazy right now. When we launch the new bows, you know, people are looking for the getting more Ethos and Kairos and the Allure. They're trying to get their hands on them because they're selling the preview packs that they have received. So they want more now. And that's a good thing. But we got to get them shipped and lots of other products going out the door right now. We come out with a new broadhead that's doing extremely well and starting to ship some of those now. And it's been fun.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, I can't wait to get my Cairo. I still haven't got it yet. I'm anxious to shoot it. So that's going to be a little fun setting that up, I tell you. I was hoping to get that before I leave for Kansas, but I'm going to take off for Kansas this weekend. So I'll probably still shoot my Omnia.
Yeah, I have a trad hunt this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll be in Oklahoma on the McAllister Army Ammunition Plant. I don't know what they call it. But anyway, it's a special draw thing for Oklahoma. A lot of fun.
Yeah, traditional hunt.
Only traditional, only. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fun. Speaking of fun, it's been fun, boys. We better get out of here. I got to go head to the tree. I hear my deer calling me. Darren, if someone needs to get a hold of you to order parts, how can they do that? I'm kidding. Just to get a hold of you about opportunities to shoot with the lead, or if they got questions, Darren, how can they do that?
Staff is full. No more questions for 2023. So if they need me, Facebook, Instagram, I'm Darren Christenberry on both. And if they want to send me a resume, it's dchristenberry@toglc.com.
Man, you got that booked fast. I mean, you're on it, man. Nathan? Hey,
I've been working on this crap for 2 months.
Nathan, how could they get hold of you?
Dan, there's no shortage of people wanting to shoot elite bows.
I'm telling you, that's awesome.
Especially on staff.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nathan.
Me, Nathan Brooks Archery at on Facebook or Instagram, and nbrooks@toglc.com for an email.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. It's Outdoors Dan for Nathan and Darren. Thanks for listening to Hunting for X's, the podcast, brought to you by the fine folks at Elite, Scott Archery, Custom Bow Equipment, Winner's Choice Strings, and Flex Fletch Products. We'll see you next time right here on Hunting for X's.